chapter 24, and we will look at these verses beginning at verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. And I think that's really what we're trying to do. We are trying to warn people that there are folk in this world that are deceivers. And as I mentioned, they're not going to come up and say we are counterfeiting. They are going to do everything they can to deceive you. They're going to tell you, well, we're just like you are. We believe just like you do. We're, you know. Well, if that's so, why don't you come over and join our church then? Now, I've had Mormons and I've had about every two-bit character in the world. Oh, we believe just like the Baptists. Present yourself to a Baptist church and see whether we'll accept you or not. Now, for many shall come. Not just a few. You think I have exhausted my repertoire on cults. You just don't know the cults, folks. You all come to California. We've got more nuts per square inch out there than you can take a stick at. Somebody asked me about Tony and Susan Alamo. I'm glad you got them. We had them long enough. I hope they get in as much trouble here as they did out there, too. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now, the warning in the Scripture is that deceivers are going to come, they're going to claim to be Christ, and that people are going to be deceived into believing that. Now, you think, well, that just couldn't happen. But it is happening, and apparently it is happening in your city because I have had numerous reports since being here of the activities of the Moonies. Now, what are we talking about? Officially, they call themselves the Holy Spirit Association for the Unification of World Christianity. I love that title. You ever see a church split? They always go out and organize Unity Baptist Church. Harmony Baptist Church, Fellowship Baptist Church, boy, and any new denomination, we're going to unify Christianity. No, they're going to split some more. That's what they're doing. And that's a dodge. The Unification Church, that's what they call themselves. The man we're talking about is Sun Myung Moon. That was not the name given to him. His name was Moon. However, he took the name Sun. You know what Sun means in Korean? Just what it means in English. You know what Moon means in Korean? Just what it means in English. From the sun to the moon. Boy, he really has a high opinion of himself. He was born January 6, 1920, in North Korean village to Presbyterian parents. Those of you that are interested in the history of Korea, you will learn that the early missionary work that was done in Korea was done by the Presbyterians. And we mentioned a few minutes ago that Brother Roy Reed is on his way to Korea, probably there now. Sister Reed, her ancestors were some of the early Presbyterian Korean missionaries. Very interesting because now the Korean Missionary Baptist work is sponsored by the church at Bellflower where Brother and Sister Reed have labored so faithfully for these years. These are Bible-believing Presbyterians in that they are not the liberal, left-wing, ecumenical type Presbyterians that you are perhaps acquainted with in this area. They are not that kind of Presbyterian. And I say that so that you will understand that this man has turned his back on light. To me, that's very important. There are lots of people that have gone into error, but to go into error after you have been raised in light. One of the worst things that can happen to you, my dear brother or sister, is to come to a school like this and then go out and become a heretic. your judgment will be far greater than someone who has never known the truth and has never been acquainted with truth, because you are going to be judged according to the light in which you have lived. On Easter Sunday, when he was 16 years old in 1936, he claims that Jesus appeared to him. We're going to run into that several times. That is, people claiming that Jesus appeared. Now, folks, that's just not happening. And if somebody comes up and well, as a matter of fact, I had Jesus in my office the other day. A man came in and told me, Jesus Christ, and said he had come down there to help me. And I was on the alert because some of my young people had been going to a bus, and this man had told them that he was Jesus Christ. And so I knew that Jesus was in that area, and I was looking for him. And so he came and he wanted to help me in my church work. And I said, well, first of all, I need to see your hands. And he said, what? And I said, if your hands don't have nail prints in them, I'm not interested in talking to you about being Jesus. Now, beloved, that's so much silly nonsense. And I'm not about to talk to anybody about, I had Jesus in my room and we were having a big long talk. But he says that Jesus appeared to him and commissioned him and gave him the divine principle. We'll talk about that in a little bit. And it's the silliest thing you ever read in your life. He spent 9 years preparing himself for this mission. The war years he spent in Tokyo University studying electronics. The reason that I say that is the rest of us were fighting a war. In 1944, after World War II, he returned to North Korea. In 1946, he became acquainted with Paik Kim. Again, if you know anything about Koreans, you know that Kim is a name among the Koreans like Smith, Jones, so forth, in the United States. It's a very common name. Nearly everybody's named Kim. This Paik Kim, a Pentecostal heretic, claimed that he was the Korean Messiah. Now, later on, Moon picks up on this heresy that he learned from Paik Kim in this six-month period that he spent with him in North Korea. From 46 to 50, Moon was in a North Korean prison. Now, he claims that he was there because of his anti-communist activity. He claims to be strongly anti-communistic, and properly so. However, his detractors say that he was in prison because of adultery and bigamy. The interesting thing is, and the only conclusive proof that we have, is that the Presbyterian Church excommunicated him during that period of time. Now, usually Presbyterians would not excommunicate you for anti-communist activity, but they might if you were a bigamist. And later on, we will get into his marital problems. He returned to South Korea, and I could go into the wild, fantastic story he tells about getting out of prison, but it is too ridiculous to repeat here. He returned to South Korea after his release from prison, working as a laborer in Pusan on the docks there, and he began to teach his principle and began to gather a following around him in Pusan. In 1954, he started his church, and it is also the date his wife left him. People from Korea tell me, and it's very difficult to prove, but that the early initiates into his church, the female initiates, had to have intimate sex relations with Moon in order to be a member of the church. And it was for this reason, they claim, that his wife left him. Again, there is no reason to say that he has been promiscuous and immoral in this country. But in Korea, the record is this, that he had followers, and he was arrested July 4th, 1955, for promiscuity and adultery. He had several professors. He had several students on the university campus there that were followers of him, and on their transcripts, they were expelled from the school, and it says on their transcript, for engaging in scandalous rites. Now, that's exactly the charge that was laid against them. Now, Moon has probably been married four times, but you recognize when it's difficult to, in North Korea and so forth, the bigamy charges and so forth, to actually tell you how many times he has been married. His present wife, though, he married when she was 18 years old. And they now have eight children. He married her in 1960. In 1972, Moon says that God told him to come to this country. Now, that's where I first became acquainted with the Moon situation. I was in Boston. I had been there to do some historical research for some papers I was preparing. And my wife and I, we were walking across the Boston Common. And as we were walking across, some very nice young people approached us and said that they were having a reception that day for a Korean evangelist, much like Billy Graham. He was the Billy Graham of Korea. And that he had come to this country to share the gospel, and they were having this ice cream soda, free ice cream. Well, I've always had a little problem with obesity, so that really didn't appeal to me, and Billy Graham didn't appeal to me in any way. Anyway, I didn't go. But it was, they told me that this great Korean evangelist, Sun Myung-moon. Well, I began to hear then a little about Moon this, Moon that. And I had been home a short time when a couple of friends of mine, one of them a fire chief, one of them a pitcher for the California Angels, the Lang brothers, came and they began to talk to me about their nephew who had come out from Michigan. And their nephew was staying at the YMCA, and suddenly he had disappeared from the YMCA, and the Unification Church people had come and picked up all of his belongings, and they couldn't get in touch with him. And they said, well, Brother Kenneman, what is this Unification Church? And, well, a big league pitcher, he might hit you in the head with a ball bat. So I said, I don't know. And I said, I guess it's like the Presbyterians and the Methodists or something. We have so many denominations, you know, you just wait a minute, and they'll start a new denomination in California. And so that they were insistent. And I said, well, I'll begin to find out. And so I began to research to find out about the Unification Church. And this is what I have found. He entered this country on a visa stating that his wife was a specialty cook. Now, some of you may be here on student visas. This school has signed that you are in this country as theological students. We do that for students from various parts of the world where I teach. That's a legitimate thing. And I resented the other day when the Iranian students tried to burn Beverly Hills. Now, they have a legitimate right to come to this country and study. And they have a legitimate right to attend our universities, but they do not have a legitimate right to start a revolution in this country. Neither do they have a right to come in this country as students and not go to school and study and make good grades.
Neither do you have a right to come into this country as a specialty cook. If you are a French chef, you can come into this country because we do not have great French chefs in this country. If you are a great cook of the German stripe, you could get in this country because you're a specialist. This woman claimed to be a specialty cook. I don't know. Some of you fellas probably were in Korea, and I don't know if you're crazy about kimchi, but I'm not. That's fermented cabbage if you don't know what that is, folks. Brother Reed takes up a kimchi offering for the missionaries. That's what it is. They take that cabbage. Oh, that's bad stuff, folks. Huh? But that's not much of a specialty. But anyway, she has not been a cook. She lives as a queen, if you please, in the lap of luxury. In fact, they reside in a $620,000 mansion in Tarrytown, New York. But don't feel too sorry for them because they have fixed it up. You know, spent another $250,000 fixing it up so it'll be fit to live in. Well, anyway, I'm just a little sick of these people that are ripping the American people off financially. Well, anyway, that's what's happened. Well, what is so different about these people? After all, don't they have a right to have their own church? Sure. But wait till you read their book. It's called Divine Principle. It is the book of the Revelations to Moon that had been translated by a woman, Young Un Kim. She is the professor of theology at their seminary in New York. She holds a PhD, and she is their translator. Now, again, let me go back. When I started to do research, I could not get a divine principle. I didn't want somebody telling me what was in divine principle. I wanted to read it. And so I went to the unification churches. They wouldn't give it. Well, you have to go on one of our retreats, and then we will provide you one. But you have to take a course and so on. I didn't want your book. Some of you probably may have read Zola Levitt's book, and Zola had the same problem. Then they began trying to influence the ministers of this country by, maybe you got mail from them, and they would, we're just like this group and that group and the other group, and we're being persecuted. And so finally I wrote them, and I said, well now, I can't make an objective judgment of your folk unless I have a copy of Divine Principle so that I can read. And I'll be glad to pay whatever it costs for you to print it, but I need it. So that I, after all, you're asking me to take a position here. And by the way, I have a copy. Well, but before that, I got a copy to peruse. It is in the stacks at the Los Angeles Public Library. There's one copy, and you could not check it out. You had to use it there, and it was a controlled copy. And so I sat down, the copy machine was there, I had a lot of dimes, and we went to work. And I started copying that thing. But my wife was with me. I don't know if she didn't trust the librarian or me, but anyway, she went with me. And there we sat. I said, honey, look at this. Ah! Now I go copy it. Okay, let's see what I was ugh-ing about. Adam and Eve. God created Adam and Eve. You know that? Great, isn't it? But God created Adam and Eve to live as brother and sister. And Lucifer looked down and saw both Adam and Eve, that they were beautiful. And he desired both of them, but Eve was more beautiful than Adam. And so Lucifer and Eve committed fornication and fell spiritually. Now, you probably never did read that in the book of Genesis at all, did you? Now, that's a divine principle. That's where it's based. Now, if you don't understand that principle, you don't understand anything. That Eve and Lucifer had marital relations. And from that marital relation, Cain was conceived and born. Then Eve realized what she had done. And according to divine principle, she compelled Adam, that's the word that is used, to act as her husband. And then from that union, Abel was born. Now we have the two antagonist systems set up. Cain, which will represent communism, Abel, which will represent democracy, all the way through their program now. Now, what had God done? He had meant for Adam and Eve to live together and reach perfection. And once they had reached perfection, they would have been allowed to live as man and wife and would have formed a trinity with God. Their children then would have been a perfect race, and the world would have been a perfect place. But they threw a monkey wrench in God's program. And so God said, I'll have to take care of that somewhat. And so he sent Jesus. Jesus did not come to die on the cross. The crucifixion of Jesus was a universal tragedy. That's a direct quote. Since Jesus could not accomplish his mission, the realization of the ideal creation was delayed. Now, what was Jesus supposed to do? He was to come into this world. He was to live a perfect life. He was to find a perfect woman. He was to marry that perfect woman. They were to cohabit and have children, and a perfect generation would be born. But you see, God's program was thwarted. And so, they crucified Jesus before he could get married and have children. Well, the Mormons think he did. So come out and hear me on Mormons. Little advertisement there. Little free ad. All right, now this is the meat and the coconut, folks. They believe in the Lord of the Second Advent. This is the big thing. They believe that, and they teach that a new Messiah was born in Korea. Now, I picked that up from Pius X. And he was born in the 1920s. Isn't that nice? You know, I mean, after all. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. If Sun Myung Moon was here right now, he would not tell you, I am the Lord of the Second Advent. I'm just qualified. And his followers call him Father Moon. And they recognize him in reverent terms because they believe he is the Lord of the Second Advent. But after all, he wants to keep it on that level for now. Now, this Messiah, this Lord of the Second Advent, born in Korea in the 1920s, will unify all religions in a unified church. Here's another quote. They say, in order to accomplish this task, another man must be born for this purpose. A man who will live as a man, subjugate Satan completely, and as a man restore the entire universe. Further, they warn, the kingdom of God will not bodily descend from heaven. They warn against people that look for the Messiah to come in clouds. You don't really understand the Bible, folk, when you talk like that. You see, a cloud is made up of moisture. Moisture is water. You probably think I'm making this up. Water is what seas are made up of. In the Bible, seas are used to express humanity. Where are the seas of humanity? The Orient. Where will the Messiah come from? From the clouds, from the seas of humanity in the Orient. All the time you look them up, you're getting a crick in your neck and should have been looking to Korea. Wow. You see, a little hermeneutic wouldn't hurt you folks out back here. You know, a little Bible interpretation go a long way. The Lord of the Second Advent and His followers will establish the kingdom of God. Moon claims that He Himself has reached perfection. And He is hoping that His fourth wife will soon attain perfection. I don't know if I want my wife to be perfect or not. You know, it's hard enough to live with it this way. I don't know if this is for me. So that they will become the ideal couple and fulfill the prophetic scheme. Now, how in the world do they get people to believe that junk? You say, nobody's going to believe that. If I walked up to you and I said, Sun Myung Moon is the Lord of the Second Advent, and, you know, you'd go, bleh. Okay. So we've got to work out a method, haven't we? And they have some very devious means that they use. First of all, they seek out the 20 to 30-year-old young person. In this country, we have a lot of people that are disenchanted. They're alienated from society in that age group. Our churches need to emphasize to that age group. You know, we get them out of high school, and then we drop them until they get married and have kids, and then we start young married couples classes. But that age span between high school and marriage many times is left out. Also, we have a lot of young people that are the result of broken homes. And they have had very little love, very little attention from their parents. And they are really in a very serious state of flux. And they need love. And so, if you've ever been talking about London and around Piccadilly, how the kids just congregate there, and the Moonies have now started in London. And they reach those kids by saying, are you interested in world peace? Well, sure. You know, all young people are idealistic. We want peace. Well, we're going to have a dinner tonight. It's free. And we're going to discuss world peace and just, you know, young folks like us. And we'd really like to have you come. And would you just come and let's see if there is something that we can do as young people to bring about world peace. And so you come to dinner. And there the people are so kind and so attentive. And they are happy that you're there. And they show you affection. And they talk about world peace and how it would be wonderful to have a perfect society. See, if you don't believe in depravity, that's what people really believe can happen. If you pass enough laws and so forth, they think, you know, we can have a... See, the only thing wrong with communism is it won't work. And the only reason it won't work is men are sinners. You see? And so they don't understand depravity. And here they are saved. You know, we're going to have a retreat this weekend. And a nice camp up here at Boonesville, California. The transportation's free. The camp's free. And we'd just love to have you come as our guest and be there with us over the weekend. Think you could do that? We're going to discuss some more about world peace. When they get you to Boonesville or when they get you to Berrytown, they begin right in. They usually use vans, and all the way up they're singing and they're talking and enthusiastically. And once they get them there, they keep them up 20, 22 hours a day. And they're bombarding them constantly with Mooney propaganda. And lessons and lessons. And if you try to walk away, you have a monitor. And he's, oh, you don't want to get away. Yeah, and he goes with you. If you want to call home and check with somebody, there's only one telephone at Boonesville. There's only one telephone at Berrytown. And you're not allowed to use that unless there's someone else present. They want to alienate them from their parents. You see, they make them the enemy. They make you understand that the older generation, they are the ones that have brought about this problem. All of this trial and tribulation, they are responsible for it. And now it's up to us. And by Monday morning, they've got the vast majority of those kids hooked. Brainwashed. If you know the first thing about psychology, you recognize what I'm talking about. If you understand anything about what happened to some of our troops in Oriental prisons, you understand what I'm talking about. And these young people are just as their minds have snapped. And they are not going to change. Not unless it is an act of God and His grace. Well, let's talk about the present status. Moon himself, his wealth is estimated at $15 million. He, by the way, this great peace lover, owns an industrial complex in Korea. And part of it is an arms factory. Now, folks, that is as inconsistent as you can be. Wouldn't it be something if I got up here and I preached against alcohol and then went over and worked in my bar or my liquor store or my winery or my distillery? You know better than that. This cult claims to have 2 million worldwide adherents. Probably they have 150,000 hardcore members. I don't know if you understand what I mean by that. But, you know, I go into a missionary Baptist church and they've got 800 on the roll, 200 in Sunday school. I call it 200 hardcore members. They're the ones that are committed to something. The rest of them, you know. Well, anyway, the hardcore, the people that are involved. They have about 7,000 living in communal centers. And it's growing all the time. Now, what they do is these young people live together. They eat together. They sleep on the floor and so forth. If you've not been accosted by any of them, you're the unusual person. They come and they sell candles and candy and flowers. And they will talk about how that they are soliciting funds for a drug rehabilitation program. Or that they are dealing with young people, youth programs. Or they will tell you that they are doing this for missions. I was in Kennedy Airport a few weeks ago, waiting in the TWA lounge. And young lady came up to me and said, would you contribute to our missionary, our church missionary program? A lot of people in this world are on a guilt trip. And you mention church and they, oh yeah, yeah. Brother Conrad Glover and I were in Anchorage, Alaska. And I was standing, Brother Conrad and I were waiting to be picked up to go to the church where we were guests. And the brother was kind of, I stand there with my Bible like this. And a man walked up to me and he said, are you a preacher? And I said, yes, sir. He said, would you put this in the offering for me tonight? And handed me a $20 bill. And I sure did. Absolutely. And I put it in the offering. Now, the offering didn't go to me, but it didn't go to Conrad either. But Brother Glover and I, you know, that was something different. And we heard the two men. This guy said, what'd you do that for? The fellow's in it. He said, I've had enough bad things happen to me today. And they went on into the bar. And he figured that he had bought at least $20 worth of protection, I guess, to go on into that bar. But what I'm saying is people are on a guilt trip, and they come up and they say, we're going to give for a minute. Oh, right. And those kids are getting $150, $200 a day. And they bring it back. They don't. That's not their money. No. They get two meals a day, very, very high in starch meals. And they sleep on the floor. And they are really put upon as far as I'm concerned. This girl said, oh, it's the Unification Church. I said, young lady, you don't have any missionary program. You're a Mooney. And off she went. Ah, but you see, she knew that I knew she was lying, but it didn't bother her. She knew that she was lying, and it didn't bother her, because Moon has taught them that it's all right. You see, we are in the throes of the devil, and they are simply liberating that money. Literally. They call it retributive lying. It is just retribution. They're getting back at the devil by lying to you and getting that money for what they consider to be God's work. And so the young person that will walk up to you and just look you right in the eye and say, this is going for a drug rehabilitation program, knows that he's lying. He knows that there is no drug rehabilitation program that money is going to. It is going into the investments of Son Myung Moon and the Unification Church. But you see, it is all right. The end justifies the means. Now, we have somehow gotten the idea that if we try to be hard on young people, they're going to rebel. Oh, you're not going to stand that. I'm of a different opinion. I think young people are reaching out and wanting direction for their life. I think that young people want to be told what is right and what is wrong. But they want us to set the example, too. It is not going to do a bit of good for me to stand up here and say, now, brethren, I sure do hate that marijuana. And I'm getting emphysema from Lucky Strike. Now, that's just not going to work. You might as well put it down in your little black book, pink book, or any color book you carry. The kids know that that's hypocritical. Now, you're either going to have to live right or stop preaching right. One or the other, because they can see through that pony baloney. You know, don't do as I do as I say. Not going to get it. If you want people to be honest, be honest. If you want people to be modest, be modest. If you want people to be clean, be clean. Now, beloved, when we get to the heart of Christmas, we'll see the same principle. We just can't make room. If you're married and you go into the Mooney group, you can't live with your wife until they tell you you can. Often it is up to 2 years that new converts must live apart. Now, I don't know about you folks, but I served 3 years overseas in World War II, and those were 3 of the longest years of my life. And when I got home and I saw my wife and my son, I don't know. Heaven may be better than that, but that'll do till heaven comes along, I'll tell you for sure. To be separated from someone I love is painful. But they do that. Then, to the unmarried convert, you don't get married until you get permission. And you don't marry anybody that they don't pick for you. Now, you get a little choice. You submit 5 names. And the church leaders will pick out who you get to marry. In the same way with the Hare Krishna, we'll get to that later. But anyway, you know, the fellow I feel the worst for in the whole Bible is Hosea. You ever think about that guy? Go marry a prostitute. Okay, Lord, whatever you say. As a child, Gomer runs off. Go get her back. Okay, Lord, whatever you say. He goes and wins her back. Again, she plays the harlot. Go get her. I said, now, Lord, why don't you pick the sermons and leave the women picking to me? But, of course, it was a great lesson that Israel was to learn from that. But, beloved, you leave the women picking to me. I don't want any preacher picking out my wife. And not only that, when they get married in a great mass ceremony. Some time ago, Moon married several thousand people in a great stadium in Korea, and as the result of that, the honorarium, if you please, was a new mansion. I'm lucky if I get $2 for performing a wedding. He got a whole mansion. Anyway, maybe I'm in the wrong business. But even then, now you're married and wife, you're married. And the first 40 days, you have to live separate. Any of you remember your honeymoon? You'd have to put it off 40 days if you were a Mooney. That's right. No, people won't submit. Yes, they will. I think they would submit to truth as quickly as they will to error. The problem is we're just not telling them the truth anymore. We have become involved in, well, whatever you think is all right. That's not so, folks. We need to tell people that there are standards that Christians should keep. They're buying up vast amounts of property. They own the New Yorker Hotel in New York. It's right across diagonally from Madison Square Garden, Pennsylvania Station. People come into the New York City area and come to the events that are held at Madison Square Garden. The Democratic National Convention, where our president was nominated, was held there. The people had trouble getting in and out because of the Mooney handing out literature and cornering people, selling them stuff. Oh, beloved, they're everywhere. While I was in New York early last year, a young man jumped out of the window of the New Yorker Hotel and in the Times, the New York Times, it mentioned how that others had done this. So I went down to the Times and went into their archives and began to research this thing. And I found out a lot of Moonies had committed suicide. Several there at the New York Hotel just jump out the window. And I found out why. Because they're taught that once they begin to doubt Moon, this is an attack of Satan. And that if they allow those doubts to be harbored, that they will soon lose their state of grace. And so they will kill themselves, lest they lose their state of grace. One young man I found had actually gone out and laid down on a railroad track and allowed his head to be cut off by an oncoming train. He did it because of Moon. Jim Jones is not the exception, folks. I've talked to ex-Moonies that said, yes, if I had been told while I was in the Moon movement, I too would have drunk that poison. It's dangerous. They have the controlling interest in the Diplomat National Bank in Washington, D.C. The total assets of the church now are approximately $100 million. A tuna fleet was recently purchased. Their goal is to rule the world. And Moon has strong ties to the South Korean dictator. He doesn't preach in English. He preaches in Korean. And he has an English translator. His name is Colonel Park. Colonel Park is the former head of the Korean CIA. That's how close his ties are to the Korean dictator. I don't like dictators.